Tuesday, I got a call asking to preach this 1 o'clock hour, and boy, it really struck me to pray what would God have me to preach. And glory to God, he gave my wife a song glorifying him. And it really connected with something Dale had preached at the 1 o'clock last week about the difference between just how flippantly we are about glorifying him, about giving him glory, how we don't really understand the difference. So for me to try to explain it as best God would allow me to, I think of degrees of separation, like how far away from your world and what matters to you can you get to God. So if at our base level we have those things that we need, that God, I can't imagine surviving without this, and we'll come to him in prayer and we'll say, God, I need this, and it's important to us, we hold it dear. And then one level above that, we have the things that we can praise him for, where we look back and we say, wow, God, you really pulled through stronger than I ever could have hoped for, ever would have imagined. And as we get to that closeness, that nigh to God, we're able to glorify him for what he is, for being,
amen,
for the names of God, for being righteous and jealous. And those are really what I'm going to focus on today, is glorifying him and those two names with his help. So by way of introduction, we see in Isaiah chapter 28, and I'm looking at verse 5, it says, "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be of a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate." And boy, my eyes were open to this this week as I traversed the highway going to work at kind of an odd hour where the sun was up, and it was daylight, and I could see everything around me. That's unusual, but I had an orchestra playing in the car, and I was just able to think on the glory of God. What is that? How can I even comprehend? How can I comprehend all that he's done for me? And the idea of righteousness, he giving people, all people, a law to follow that we could agree on what's right and what's wrong, and that as Pastor had alluded to kind of an early beginning of civilization where people had had the ability to no longer need to farm. They could become like a police force, or they could make pottery, or they were becoming less dependent on the land. The idea of how good we have it, it might be inconvenient to hit a pothole in the highway for me, or I forgot to roll the windows down, the car's a little hot. Like, I really live a very comfortable life, and we all do in that regard. But just being able to glory in his name. So we see in verse 5, "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory." And you need to back up maybe to verse 3 to see what the in that day is referring to. It's referring to a day when those that have taken a crown of pride, that they're proud of their accomplishments, that look what I've done, that those people are squashed, and all that remains are the people that recognize that anything good in us is of God. And when we look at that glorious day, we'll have a crown of glory for a diadem. That's like an icon of royalty, a diadem of beauty. So it's something that we can tangibly see. We can look on the glory of God, unto the residue. And the word residue, I kind of have to giggle. Lily went on a missions trip recently, and she made the mistake of washing her water bottle, which you think, like, it's kind of an odd thing. How can you mess that up? Well, if you put enough soap in it, it becomes a problem. It's hard to get it out, the taste of soap. And that's what that idea of a soap residue of clean to the side, that vessel is going to get rinsed and rinsed and rinsed and rinsed, and you can still taste it, that it's there, that maybe soap's not the best analogy, but that we would cling to God's word in that same with that same resilience. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. And boy, that's when you take time to glory in God and his righteousness, that inner battle, that besetting sin, that the problems of your day, there's no longer room for them. God dwells in you, and he pushes that battle to the gate where you can stop looking at your woes, and you can start to look at the people that you work with, the family members, the friends, and the battles that they're going through. And you can be a help to them. And so with God's help, I'd like to look at the glory due unto him. And we'll see that first in 1 Chronicles 16. If you turn with me to 1 Chronicles 16, we're going to be looking at... we're not going to spend a lot of time on verse 7. It'll be later in the chapter, but I do... As I was listening to the music and wondering if there's anything different God would have me to do, he put this on my heart that, so chapter 16, verse 7, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord unto the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So that's the stage for what I'd like to look at, which is verse 24. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Wow. So, in verse 24, his marvelous works among all nations. his glory among the heathen. So what is gonna reach those that don't know God? And I think that the goodness of God does lead thee to repentance, that you can look at times when you didn't think the bills were gonna get paid and a check came in, and you can share that, and it is right to credit God with that. But his glory is so much more vast than that. And that, as I was talking to Scotty just a moment ago, I alluded to this, so I hope he doesn't fall asleep, but the idea of his mercy in giving us preeminence and on the world, that we don't need to live in fear of being mauled by a tiger or a lion, unless you tame lions, and but a consciousness above what the animals have, that we can think of the things of God and fellowship with him and commune with him and understand that we don't know a lot of his word, but that that he can show us precept upon precept, line upon line, his marvelous works. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. And in verse 26, I don't know why this was impressed on me, but for all the gods of the people are idols. And I don't want to sound unpatriotic, but the idea of the majority having the morality, the idea that, like, if you get this bill to pass, that now this is becomes what's morally acceptable in the land, it's become an idol that America knows best, that democracy should rule. I thank God that he rules our house and my life, and how much better it is that I'm not in a position where, well, it's legal now, so it's okay. But the Lord made the heavens, and this just goes to the Lord made the heavens. This goes to the idea of glorifying him, that where he dwells is physically above us, but that what he's to be gloried for should be above our problems.
Amen.
Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. I'll just drop down to verse 29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. It's quite the challenge. It's to offer something to a holy God that had to humble himself to look at the heavens. I think of like a turkey picture where you like trace your hand and then you give it like Happy Thanksgiving, Dad. You know, and it's an offer. It is an offering, and it's dear to a dad that's received a Thanksgiving Day sculpture, but that's really the challenge before us, is to bring, for us to be that offering for Him. And come before Him and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and the beauty. So that carries with it the idea of what you can see. What can you see of His holiness? And as I was making that 86 from Cuba to friendship, the blue sky and just the beautiful clouds rolling in, I thought of the pressure zones, how God is able to deliver off of the ocean water to where it's needed.
Amen.
And the beauty of that, how that water lands on our yard and gives grass exactly what it would need, its substance. And I guess the idea of what I'm trying to get at is that that two people can look at that and just see happenstance, that this is just nature working, or you can see God working in that. And if you turn with me to Psalms 29, we'll look at another instance where we're commanded to give glory to unto His name. This is Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. And boy, I was just given this great visual, and if you think it would help you to close your eyes, go ahead. But if you can imagine, you're on a raft, and it's ocean, 360 degrees, calm water, a light blue met with another light blue that's the sky. You can almost make out the horizon everywhere you look, and you think, boy, this is the thing that postcards are made of. And then you look and your lunch pail's empty. Shoot, how did I get here? Well, something doesn't feel right. I need something. Something's missing. And the God of glory thundereth, and you feel just a little ripple in the water there, and it starts to increase into maybe a relaxing wave or swell, and then it becomes a wave, and it's becoming more and more intense, and you're losing parts of your raft. You're the thing that you need to get by, that you can't do without, that you put before God, that it's all crumbling. And even the experienced sailors would call to God, and He, the sky darkens, there's thunder and lightning, and even though the water of the ocean turns a darker blue than it was, and the Lord says, peace be still. And you're not only are you back to stability, but you've been moved. You're on dry land now. You're better than you thought you were before. Indeed, the Lord is upon many waters, and He was with you throughout that whole experience. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames. And I think of two types of flames there. There's a never-ending flame, the flames of hell, that for those that continue to wear the crown of pride. And then there's a cleansing flame that, I don't know, maybe it hurts just as bad, but it serves a purpose of cleaning up your life. And thank God that He divides the two. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest. And in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Amen. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And amen. And it's not a peaceful time that He promises, but a peace that you would have, a peace that is beyond understanding, that in times of trouble you would find that peace in Him, in his glory, that having gone through that whole escalation of the waves, that you've seen rough waters before, that He carried you through it, and that at the flip of a switch, He could settle these waters. It gives you a peace that, even though you're not in those times, you know that when He's ready, He'll calm what trials beset you. The last verses we'll be looking at are in Psalm 96. Boy, as I read through these, I couldn't help but reminisce of Adam Caesar being here and what a tremendous message he gave right out of this psalm. So if you get a chance to re-listen to that, I think if I can put up my better, I think he did a tremendous job. God was definitely with him within that. But Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Above all gods. What gods do you have in your life? There's a digital well-being app. It tells you on your phone how much time you're spending on which application. And I just wonder how many, what when you look at that pie graph, how much of that is, Bible Gateway or the King James Bible app or Bible Dictionary, you know, or is it, are you more concerned with maybe your finances, right? That did my credit score go up or down, or where's, why haven't they emailed me this or that, or right, where are we spending our time? What God are we worshiping? The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Honor and majesty. We're given that great example of honoring your enemy in the king's robes, but this Lord is worthy of the honor that we beset him. He's perfect in every way, and majesty are before him. That idea again of royal law, of having a rightness to your actions, to what your commands, what your laws are. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now we're going to see something very, very interesting here. This is new from the other verses. We're invited to come into his courts. If we'll jump ahead to verse 13 to see that in action. So Psalm 96, verse 13, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. Before I get ahead of myself, read the verse in its entirety. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And boy, some verses are easy to understand and hard to believe, but for me, this one was hard to understand. I got my wires crossed, and I was asking Tiffany to help me out. She said, just text Pastor, he'll give you the answer. And I said, no, God's got to show me this. And so I prayed over it, and I said, God, would you show me? Because I'm seeing this two ways. I see, he shall judge the world with righteousness. Okay, yeah, judge the world, because I'm not a part of that anymore. I like that. Judge the world and the people with his truth. And I was like, oh, wait, I got the truth. Am I going to be judged? Or, because I can see it two ways here if I squint just right. Maybe I'll be judging with you, the world. Is that? And thank God he just showed me, nope, it says exactly what it says. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So if he wanted the people with his truth to judge with him, he would have said, he shall judge with the people, with his truth, the world with righteousness, but that's not the order. That's not how he ordered it. He ordered it, he shall judge the world with righteousness. So there you are, first in line with your crown of pride.
Uh-oh.
And then he turns to the people with his truth. He says, your turn. I hope and pray that each of us is working for that offering, working towards that offering to bring your Savior, that you'd also self-care, that you'd recognize when you're feeling burnt out or down or morally low, and you take time to glory in his name, that you'd set down the next thing that you need, maybe water out of your basement, or new tires on your car or whatever, and you just take time to glory in God and what God is, and in his righteousness and the law that he's given, but also in his jealousy, and that he doesn't want to play second fiddle to anybody, that he wants to be number one for you, number one in you, in your first priority, that he's created you to do that, that you could be obedient to him. What a great God we have, and worthy to be praised, worthy of the glory due unto his name. Thank you all for your time.
Amen.